Now let's turn to something that you're not going to get, except for in this New York Times article. In this week, go to the New York Times and find an article about making fun of Nazis. It's an unfortunate title of the piece, but you get into it. It's kind of like a clickbait title.
Thank you, Stephanie. Right. Yeah, we would have called that article something like How to Confront or Deal With, because we don't want to be provocative, and we certainly don't want to be humiliating. That's something that Gandhi felt very strongly about. But it is otherwise an absolutely excellent article, and we've already gotten requests. For example, on Tuesday, we will be interviewed by another radio station. It's called KPFA down in Berkeley. We'll be interviewed by Chris Welch. So, again, to share with you some other resources from Waging Nonviolence earlier this month, they had an article called Sahrawi Refugees Build Their Nation in Exile. And we're going to be hearing from Professor Stephen Zunis on the West Saharan struggle, which is a struggle the world has ignored, but is an extremely grieving one, agonizing one, and also one where the nonviolence has been maintained for a long time. These Western Saharans or Sahrawis have been in refugee camps now, and here's one quote from the article from Waging Nonviolence. This 200,000-person camp is run by the refugees themselves. Any international organizations that come in do so as partners, not as leaders. And I wanted to stress that because this is an important lesson that the intervention movement has learned very quickly in our career, going back about 30 years now in terms of modern third-party nonviolence intervention, that we want to avoid something that's called peace imperialism, where you sweep in and tell people what to do and then sweep out. Instead, as Sherry Wander was saying, the first job is to listen to the people who have invited you in. And I can never forget going to a meeting down here in Santa Cruz some 20 years ago where Mubarak Awad from Nonviolence International was present. He was still operating in Palestine. He had not yet been deported. And we asked him, Mubarak, do you want us in there? And he said, which I'll never forget, he said, absolutely. We are willing to die. We do not want to die alone. So come in, but do not tell us what to do. So that's an important principle that this institution has learned. Now, I wanted to turn to an article because of what we heard from David Potter from a magazine called Crux, which is the online magazine of the Catholic News Service. They had an article called West Bank Priests Stress Nonviolence as Youths Protest Israeli Occupation. You know, throughout the West Bank and Gaza and, in fact, other areas of the world, it is the Shabab, the young people, the young men, who are very difficult. This happened also at Standing Rock. When I say very difficult, I mean it's difficult for them to control their anger. Perfectly understandable, but it's crucial that they do so. And they have a lot of power when they succeed in doing it. And there is a Catholic priest there, Father Firas Arida, who had a beautiful quote that I want to share with you. He said, I tell the young men that we are not with this violence. If we do not accept for Israel to behave this way, then how can we accept it from our side? Wherever God is represented in our life, we should have no violence. So one more resource before I move on into the news section, that is that Project Censor, that you may be familiar with from at Sonoma State University, they now have been adopted on 18 campuses. And I'd particularly like to draw your attention to the one on San Francisco State, where a good friend of ours, Professor Ken Burrows, has developed an approach called constructive media. I bet you weren't surprised that we were very enthused by the idea of constructive media. He says it is not fear-based and not problem-focused. They focus on social health news, mindfulness, technology and eco-health, and other fascinating things. So to move on to some of the news, I can't really cover even a fraction of it this week. I wanted to highlight one stirring event. This comes to us from Common Dreams, and I'm quoting the title of their article. In support of 8 arrested for toppling Durham statue, hundreds turned themselves in. And Common Dreams correctly identified this as a pure act, a true act of civil disobedience. 8 people had been arrested for pulling down a statue of a Confederate general, and hundreds of others said, arrest us too. So it's a wonderful technique. But it leads me to make a few comments about this whole practice of tearing down statues. I perfectly understand why people are doing it, but I've got some problems. So hear me out. First of all, I want to say, let's not forget, statues are symbols. And in nonviolence, symbols are tricky. The side that relies on symbols while the other side is making concrete changes is going to lose. For one thing, to rely on symbols sends a message that there isn't anything concrete to do, or that you can't think of anything concrete to do. And that's a bad message. Symbols can also be misinterpreted. And in fact, this has led to our president, no comments, please, saying that, you know, we're destroying culture and history. And it's, you know, I don't agree with the statement, but there is a grain of truth there because symbols can always be misinterpreted. And after all is said and done, these people whose statues are being torn down are part of the history of that area. Second, as is often the case with symbols, these acts are highly provocative, and that is not smart when you're dealing with white supremacists and neo-Nazis. So I think it's both counterproductive and a waste of energy. Thirdly, what about the dignity of the South? Some Southerners will feel like this is the Civil War all over again. So how could we go about this in a way that would bring them along with us? And this is going to take some time. The real way to solve problems in the long run through nonviolence is rarely a quick fix, though we have focused today on some dramatic episodes. So I can think of 3 things that we should do. Patiently educate people about the marvelous diversity of nature and the equality of the human spirit. Second, put up statues that celebrate the great men and women of the South. Every time you pull down a Confederate general, put up a musician or a physicist or a great surgeon. And my final comment is all war memorials should come down, and they should come down voluntarily, not by being torn down by one party or the other. So thank you for hearing me out. I, as I say, I'm not opposing this action altogether, but I wish we could be doing something a little more effective. Yesterday on the Sojourners website, there was a statement by 350 Christian ethicists. They were condemning white supremacy. And again, there's some beautiful language there that I wanted to share with you. Quote, white supremacy and racism deny the dignity of each human being revealed through the incarnation. Through faith, we proclaim that God the Creator is the origin of all human persons. Moving on to some other items now. Campaign Nonviolence is still going forward with its week of actions, September 16th to 24th, coming up fairly soon now, and they have nearly 800 local actions scheduled. So they're on their way to their goal of 1,000 marches, rallies, vigils, and other forms of witness to take place next month. Going a little further afield, in South Korea, the peace movement soldiers on despite lack of any obvious success. And that's an important principle. We know it from Central America, where it was called Firmeza Permanente, or the party that really has what St. Teresa of Avila used to call determinación, will eventually prevail. And the interesting thing about the South Korean peace movement now, in the face of much provocation, of course, is that it is not just the Catholic 50% of South Korea, but Buddhists also have gotten heavily involved. And that has not always been the case. Korean Buddhists, as opposed to their Christian confreres, have not traditionally been active. They were rather quietist. They were not participating in what Thich Nhat Hanh calls engaged Buddhism. So when they did get involved, some individuals jumped right into extreme acts like self-immolations, which, of course, had been taking place in Vietnam. And needless to say, an act like that should be the very last thing, not the very first act of nonviolent resistance, if it's going to happen at all. But to go back to the Catholic activists, there's a Father Mun who declared that he was asked why you continue in the face of his overwhelming power, your own government and the United States. He said, "The truth cannot be thrown away. The truth will stand up someday. The truth is very powerful. So I believe the truth is going to win all enemies." One of the issues that they're protesting is the placement of Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Missile System, THAAD, which have been put in the city of Busan on land that is dangerously close to some Buddhist pilgrimage sites and so forth. It's a little bit parallel to what we saw in Standing Rock. So while we're at it, the Coalition Against Foreign Military Bases is a new campaign in the U.S., which is focused on closing all U.S. military bases abroad. If I'm not mistaken, there are about 750 of them. And it strikes at the foundation of the what they're calling the U.S. empire, and they're urging us to join that campaign. Again, Coalition Against Foreign Military Bases. And now to turn to the question of the environment. From our ever-reliable colleagues, Nonviolent Conflict News, from the International Center for Nonviolent Conflict, ICNC, they reported earlier this month about a group called Swaraj India. Swaraj, of course, was Gandhi's term for independence. It had meant personal spiritual freedom, but he applied it to, well, it had already been applied to the political independence of India. And his classic text that he wrote in 1909 was called Hind Swaraj, or Indian Home Rule, Indian Independence. So there have been hunger strikes there to protest the government increasing the height of the Sardar Sarovar Dam. That is a dam, a part of a big system of dams that are blocking the Narmada River in Gujarat State. A sacred river, I might add. And this protest called Vigil for Narmada was attended by over 100 Swaraj India workers, including their founder, Yogendra Yadav, and they had organizations like Greenpeace and National Alliance of People's Movements who joined the agitation. I like that because it's a good example of the kinds of collaboration that are springing up all over it, and the anti-siloism that we need so badly. But Yadav stated, quote, "With the raising of the dam's height from 122 to 138.6 meters, at least 40,000 families stand at a risk of being submerged." And he said both the state and the center government are to be blamed for what he calls mass murder. Totally sympathize, but I'm just wondering if maybe that mass murder could be considered an exaggeration against which Gandhi would be kind of nervous. But anyway, it's good for us to know that this is a continuation of a long struggle that was carried out by an earlier organization, the Narmada Bachao Andolan, or the Narmada Saving Movement, which was led by a venerable sage, Baba Amte, and a young woman, Mehta Patkar, who's still active in India. Baba Amte has passed away. So that Narmada Bachao Andolan was one of two major environmental struggles going on in the immediate post-Gandhi era, the other one being Chipko Andolan, or the tree-hugging movement that took place up in the north. Still on the environment, we're often looking to Germany for their energetic, no pun intended, and imaginative, creative successes. There's a program called Energiewende, which means energy transformation, and their aim is to have 80% of the country's energy generated from renewables by 2050, which is a little bit under our target here in California, but still quite laudable. And Truth Out, which sends us this article, has stated, and I think correctly, that there's many lessons there for other countries who want to transform away from fossil fuels. A little bit closer to home now. Last week, a man in Petaluma was arrested for blocking a truck packed with live chickens. And this is part of the Direct Action Network, and the activists were holding up signs saying, quote, "No hate for truckers, just love for animals." Mm-hmm. That was a very, very nice sentiment. Some things that are coming up. Now, as most of us know, there is another rally being planned to take place in San Francisco at Crissy Field on the 26th. And sure enough, a counter-protest that's being planned by several different operations there. The one I want to share with you is Loved Up Mobile Dance Counter-Protest, which will take place at the Marina Green. Mm-hmm. And they describe it with three very important and very inspiring characteristics. It is non-confrontational, non-violent, and off-site, but nearby. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I have time to mention just one other thing. It's down the road, but end of February, beginning in March, group called the Selma Center for Nonviolence, Truth, and Reconciliation is having a two-day plus three-more-day training in Kingian nonviolent conflict resolution. They'll teach the six principles of Kingian nonviolence, basic ideas, strategies, and so forth, and then a five-day core training. This, of course, is the 53rd anniversary of the Bloody Sunday. Thank you very much.
So thank you so much, Michael Negler, for that nonviolence in the news. I'd like to add a couple extra resources. One is that on today's show, we spoke with David Potter from Sojourners with their own special approach to nonviolence and social justice through the Christian faith. We emphasize the need for training and the need for practice, and Sherry Wander also emphasized that. So there's trainings happening all over. Please do find some, and I'm offering one on Saturday at the Meta Center, but you can just keep getting involved in finding it. There's a resource on terrorism and nonviolence, because if we are calling hate groups terrorists, organizations, and we also have to understand there's a nonviolent response to terrorism too, and that we can begin to respond nonviolently and learn about that. You can find that at the Meta Center's website. And finally, we have a weekly call that explores nonviolence in the news, and as we're partnering up with Waging Nonviolence. So if that's something that you'd like to learn about, it's Wednesday mornings from 8:15 to 9:15 every week, and you can join that call too.
Dedicated all spiritual activists, true seekers, and peaceful warriors worldwide.
I regard myself as a soldier, though a soldier of peace.
Once upon a time, not long ago, there was a boy who would grow and become a great soul. He lived in India, and his name was Gandhi. He believed in human rights, and he fought for equality. He felt so strongly that he trained himself, because he realized first he'd have to change himself. He changed his clothes and decided to walk. Some days he practiced silence and refused to talk. When he was young, he studied to be a lawyer, and then he became a great spiritual warrior. He read from the scriptures of every religion, came to the realization that we're all God's children. Because he understood that we're all equal, he became a spokesman for the people. A karma yogi devoted to service, to spread truth and peace was his purpose. You gotta be the change that you wanna see in the world. Be the change, just like Gandhi. Be the change that you wanna see in the world. just like Gandhi. Gandhi dedicated his life to the cause, even when it meant breaking unjust laws. He often faced prison and incarceration, but that only strengthened his determination. He said he would make every sacrifice, but that he would never kill or take a life. He used his heart instead of his fist, and he taught nonviolence as the way to resist. A peaceful soldier who used his mind to fight for the rights of humankind, but not just people, animals too. In his basic teaching, God is truth. He joined Muslims, Sikhs, and Hindus, Christians, Buddhists, Jains, and Jews. All the many paths that lead into the light that shines bright inside of me and you. You gotta be the change that you wanna see in the world. Be the change, just like Gandhi.